We're in our second part of our study on Daniel, and this is chapter 1. The first one was to lay the background, but here we are. We're beginning in Daniel chapter 1, and we will go through this chapter. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Almighty God, we come, and hallelujah. Hallelujah to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, we are coming and humbling ourselves before you. We humble ourselves before your word. And Holy Spirit, this handmaiden is dependent upon you to equip me to do what I believe that God has called me to do, to open this word up. And Holy Spirit, I trust that you will open it to everyone who will take the time to listen and who are hungering and thirsting after the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at Daniel chapter 1, and I'm going to start with the first verse, and we'll see how it goes from there. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Now, if you remember everything we went through in the first part, Jehoiakim is the king of Judah. He was put in the office by Necho, Pharaoh of Egypt. Pharaoh came in and they conquered and he put him in office. So he's like a puppet king. And we'll see what Nebuchadnezzar does later. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. If you remember, I did tell you that Babylon was not a great power when God told Hezekiah his people would be carried away to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar was not the king that he is at this time. He was just a chief of a tribe. They were a tribe. Nebuchadnezzar wasn't the king then. But this is a historical event. I want us to remember that with real people. And by naming the kings of Judah and Babylon, it gives us a time frame of when it happened. So I say around 607 B.C., and I do get that from commentaries because they may change, vary in a couple of years. So I am saying around 607 B.C. There are two kings that we see here in the first verse. Jehoiakim, he is the king of Judah, and Nebuchadnezzar, he is the king of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar and his father were waging war and building an empire, and Judah was on their want list. You know, like you go through the mall and you've got this list of things that you want. And Judah was on that list. Nebuchadnezzar besieged Jerusalem. He surrounded it with armed forces in order to capture. Now let's read verse 2. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his gods, and he brought the articles into the treasure house of his gods. History records that King Nebuchadnezzar captured Judah. God records that he gave the king of Judah, Jehoiakim, and some of the articles from the temple into King Nebuchadnezzar's hands. God gave. Now you need to remember that. No matter what they record historically, it's the word of God that tells us what happened here. God is on his throne and God is in control. God is not confined to one place. Remember that. The temple, you may think that God is confined to your church building or service. That's what they thought. They thought they had God confined in the temple and that's where he would be. But no, no, no. God is always with his people and God is in control. And you can't limit God. You can't limit God and what God can do or how God wants to do it. God is sovereign over everything, over every affair of life, over every life. He is not removed nor confused. He is not confined to your denomination or to your country. If you think this all happened because of the strength or military prowess of the king of Babylon, you're wrong. Please, please, please listen with spiritual ears for this historically. This is a historical event that happened. And most of all, you need to hear for today. What this is for today and its application for today. I want you to remember, I know I may be repeating myself, but this is important for you to understand the context and for you to see how it is for today. Remember, at least 100 years ago, before this happened, God had already spoken to the prophet Isaiah, telling him this would come to pass. There is not one word spoken by God that has not, in the past, come to pass, or will not, future, come to pass, and be fulfilled just as he spoke it. King Nebuchadnezzar carries what God has given him to his land. He doesn't take anything. It is God allowing. God gave it to him. That's what God recorded in the scriptures. No accident. It's not just a flowery way to put it. If I were a nation, would you want to record for all of history to read that God had given up on you and given you into the hand of your captor? No. You would want to rewrite it. You would want to explain how they were so powerful. No, no, no. This was God doing this. He carries them into the land of Shinar. There is the first mention of Shinar. If you remember, it's in Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. And this is something that you can go back and read at your own leisure. It's where man, remember, tried to unite against God, building a city and a tower, Babel. Does that help you? Trying to make a name for themselves where God had told them to go out and they were to fill the earth. But they said, no, we don't want to do that. We're going to stay here. We're going to stay together. But God brings in confusion. We know what God did to this infamous city, Babel. Its tower was left because the rebellion lost its power in the unity of man by God scattering them. And how did he scatter them? He changed their language. So there were so many different tongues spoken, they couldn't understand one another. So they all had to go off and fill the earth as God had already commanded them. Shinar is Babylon, is also where God called Abraham from. Ur of the Chaldeans, the Chaldeans. So it was out of that land. God had delivered this nation of Israel from Egypt, from slavery, when they were a whole nation. They had been delivered. Now they are taken to Babylon for their sin. Where are the churches today? Where are the churches today? Where is our country today? And where are you today? I want you to stop and think about the churches that are being taken captive by everything that is happening in society, by the things that the government say are legal and that you have to do. Otherwise, it's hate speech. It's laws. They're putting in laws and so that they can arrest you and take you away. And if you don't abide by them, they can close your doors. And so what are churches doing today? They are embracing all of that. They're being taken captive from within. This people and nation belong to God. They have entered into a covenant with Him. They are in covenant with God. When we are born again, we become children of God and our life is to be different. Our life is to be different. How? How do you say? How do you say that's supposed to be? Becoming a disciple, turning from our sins, turning from our habits, and not embracing the world's gods. It's the same for a nation. God will deal with every nation. Our nation, remember, was settled by Christians. They were settling here to follow and worship God freely, as the Bible instructs. And they had drawn up a covenant between them and God. This United States of America has been a nation for 245 years. And I want you to look at where we are today. Look where we are today. When Israel was taken captive, it took about 125 years for Judah to fall away. And look at where we are as a young nation in just 245 years. Look where we have come. The church, Christians, have turned their back on God and His Word. They have chosen. Now listen, I am speaking in general terms, but I'm telling you, it is the majority of the church. It is the majority. I cannot tell you how many emails, how many phone calls we are contacted constantly. I cannot find a church in this state where I live. I cannot find anyone who is preaching the Word. I cannot find anyone. I cannot find. And honestly, this is what I say. If there is not one that you can be planted in, then begin one in your own house. And God will bring those who are like-minded together, that you may be encouraged and you may strengthen one another to be able to stand in the days ahead. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. There is coming a time when the only thing that you're going to be able to do is to stand. To stand. And you need to do it now. You need to be able to stand. And you need those around you who are like-minded to be encouraged and to encourage one another. They have chosen to be like the nations that are around them. They refuse and deny the Lord God Almighty. What are we doing as a nation? Do you remember there was a president when he went into office? The first thing he did was he went to all the godless nations, which most of them are. But he went to the godless nations of the Middle East who served a demon. And he said, America is no longer a Christian nation. And he was right. It really sent shockwaves through me. But he was telling the truth. He was telling the truth. He was a leader of this nation. He represented this nation. I can remember when we were in a certain denomination and we left that denomination because of what they stood for. We were not going to be affiliated with them any longer. When they supported alternative lifestyles and they supported abortion, we said that is what this denomination stands for. We cannot. How many of you are out there in denominations and that now is their platform? That is their platform. Those are the things that they are discussing at their conventions when all the church leaders come together and they're making decisions not about God and how to evangelize the world and things like that. They are trying to decide how to incorporate the Word of God with the political issues and the issues of the day to be acceptable. They want to grow their churches, but they want to grow their churches by being like the world. And what I say is, why even call yourself a church? Well, you are a church. I guess you're a gathering. You're an assembly of demonic doctrine. The church and Christians will accept anything and all things that are popular in order to be accepted, to be popular, to appear tolerant and loving while denying Jesus. They want to appear loving, but let me tell you one thing. If you are a conservative Bible, if you are a Bible-believing Christian, they will not tolerate you. And you will not see any love in their eyes, in their speech, or their attitude towards you. His Word and His power. Listen, they deny. And in the seminaries, they are denying the Word of God. They are calling it just, you know, it's just good writings to live your life by. And all of these things didn't happen. They discount. I'm beyond words. Listen, this will only get worse and worse until this world is like China and North Korea. There is going to be someone who is going to take over, and they are going to, and the whole of people are going to be crying out for them. You know it's coming. You know it's coming. There is not a great revival coming. There is one who is coming who is going to demand your worship. And if you deny it, it will cost you your life. So stand now, plant your flag, and stand now. Study the Word of God, that it is stored up within you. You may be storing ammunition, you may be storing food and all of those things. That's your choice, but you need to store up the Word of God within you. It should be the first thing that you're storing up, that you have it, that you have a wellspring for those who will be coming to you. We have brought the ungodly into our church and shown them everything. And now they are strong enough. They are in the church and they have come up. They have places of leadership. They have places of leadership. They have strong voices. They have followings within the church. They have all these podcasts and YouTubes, and they're sending out all these, they have Facebook. They have all these ways to communicate. And they are in the church. They're strong enough and united enough, and they are coming against us. They are coming against the Word of God. They are coming against the Lord God Almighty. And let me tell you what they want to do. They're going to carry away your children. They're going to take your children and carry them away in this thought and in this worship and this behavior. I want you to just stop and think about how many adults have been carried away to their... Listen, the schools, the colleges, the universities, the media, sports, we can go on and on the influence of what this is. And we have invited them into our church. How many churches will invite someone who is not even godly? They lead and they play on their praise and worship team. They have all kinds of sin going on. They lead their singles groups. They're on the board. They have positions where they have voices, where they have a voice. The idol worshiper will carry things from God's house to add to their gods. Listen, they will come in and they will first of all go for the most godly family because they want to take your children away. To claim God is defeated, that God is dead. I want you to stop and think, what have you purposed in your heart? That is probably the most powerful scripture in the whole book of Daniel that we need to keep hold to. What will we purpose in our heart? Verses 3 and 4. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. This is truly amazing if you stop and think about it. This was something that, when I read historically, this was something that Nebuchadnezzar did that not necessarily every other king did. When he took the things out of God's house and took them to the house of his gods, they said that was something that Nebuchadnezzar did, that it was something that he had put into practice, and taking the best out, that was something, and putting them in his palace, that was something that was for him, that he did. Not all kingdoms did that. Ashpenaz, master of the king's eunuchs, he was instructed. So when they went in to conquer and they looked around, he was looking at all of these. And so he was like, you know, like you go in the grocery store and you're trying to pick the best fruit. That's what he was doing in the midst of this. And all of this conquering and this taking over, they were lined up. And so he said, I'll pick this one. You know, you want to get the biggest, brightest red strawberry. So it's the sweetest, most satisfying. And so he's looking and he's choosing from the brightest and the best of the captivities into the schoolhouse of the Chaldeans. It was some of the children of Israel, some of the king's descendants, and some of the nobles. So first of all, what he did was he took from the king's descendants, from his own house. And then the nobles, and these were well-off families. And then from some of the other Israelite, the Hebrews. These young men were from the palace and wealthy. It's not that they had not known wealth. They were the best that Jerusalem had. Listen, they were handsome. They were intelligent. Not one blemish on them. They already had wisdom, quick learners, and they had knowledge. The best that Judah had. These were not ignorant young men, nor unpolished young men. They were already accustomed to life in a palace, surrounded by learned men and the best that Judah offered. They were accustomed to meeting with dignitaries. They were not outside digging in the ground. They were well dressed. They were not, their skin was not leather like from being out in the sun. Their nails were perfectly clean and polished, and their feet were perfectly clean and polished. They knew how to dress. They knew how to stand. They knew how to speak. They knew how to receive dignitaries. They understood what it was like to live in that life. They were already educated. Now, the one thing you can say about the Hebrew nation, they were not ignorant people. And so we know that they had to learn the Word of God. They all had to learn the Word of God. And so even in that, they knew how to read. But the children in the palace, even more so. And they were surrounded by learned men. And so they were taught constantly. And so these were taken to serve in Nebuchadnezzar's palace. And he only wanted the best to surround him. After all, that would reflect on him if they were not, in his eyes, what he considered the best. And so that's what this master of the eunuchs was, he was commissioned to do. He understood what Nebuchadnezzar wanted, and so when he looked out and he made his choices. But I want us to remember that they were given into his hand. They took the best in order to make them into their best. I want you to think now. They took the best in order to make them into their best, to teach them the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And since they were picked by the master eunuch, we see that this would become their role also, eunuchs. Eunuchs. And the eunuch is a man who has been castrated. Okay? So there is no life for them but to serve the king. There is no family for them, only to serve the king. I want us to take one moment as we reflect on this. These young men, family is very, very important in the Hebrew culture. It was a blessing from God to have many children. And these young men are taken around, they're around 14 to 16 years of age. And you may think, well, don't think of them as American youth. Because once they turned 13, they were then considered men. And so they were young men, but they were considered men. Not like here. We go from a child to just an older child. We call it teenagers. There's no such thing in other cultures. You went from being a child to a man. And you assumed responsibility. And your education was intense. And so these men were literate. They were able to read. They were able to understand. But that's how old they were. I want you to just stop and reflect on this. That Daniel, we're only talking about Daniel. And we'll talk about the other three later. But because Daniel's writing this book, he is the prominent character. But stop and think. Now, they're being taken away from their families. They're being taken away from everything they've known and taken away from the temple, taken away from their way of life, their culture and everything. They're God, so they think. But then they are made into eunuchs to serve this evil king that who's taken them. And they have seen come in and slaughter. And they're taken to his palace. And they're made into eunuchs to never, ever have a family. Never, ever to know what you know as a husband and wife. To know the love of a spouse, to know the love of a child. Those things were never, never going to be theirs. The king wanted them to forget who they were. He wanted them to forget their language, which was Hebrew, and speak Chaldean. He wanted them to forget the Torah and the writings of the Hebrew prophets. He wanted them to forget their history. He wanted them to forget what God had done for them, delivering them. He wanted them to forget Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He wanted them to forget about the God of Israel. They were to become like, think like, speak like their captors, forgetting that they were taken from their home, their families, their country, and the worship of God Almighty. That is what they are doing in your church today. Those loud voices who want to implement the things of the world within your church, they are coming to steal your children, and they are putting their words in them that they may forget the God of the Bible, that they may forget the God that you have served and given your life to, who has saved you. For without Him, think of where you would have been and where they would have been. But because you gave your life to the Lord, they have been under blessings because of that. And so those loud voices that have come in and besieged the church now are standing up, and they are picking the very best. Because for one thing, if they can brainwash them, then the very best can then in turn. I want you to think who's been popular, who's been brainwashing children. People like the Kardashians, and now they've kind of gone by the wayside, but there's still those coming up after them. And as perverse as this family was and all the things that they showed and they reveal about their life, I want you to think how perverse it is now that the young people follow. This was their way of erasing their past. This was their way of brainwashing their captives. Now, I want just to make sure that you know that I do understand. It was not just these Hebrew children. Everywhere Nebuchadnezzar conquered, and he conquered a huge part of the known world at that time, he had done that with every country. But we are talking about God's people. Okay? That's what affects. That is when the God deals with His people. And when God deals with His people, we are to be a light in the world. And when we're not a light, we're allowing darkness to rule. Things have not changed in this modern world we live in. What do the schools, the media, and the government do today but give you a false narrative, building you a God of their own making and changing history that you may forget where you have come from? That's what they're about. Now let's read verses 5 through 7. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. This is a very interesting part of Scripture. I want to read to you 141:4. It says right here in Psalm 141, verse 4, "Do not incline my heart to do anything evil, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies." Think about that. The king has told Ashpenaz to feed them the best, and so he is the master, and now this is the chief of the eunuchs, and the chief, he has taken his orders, and so they have to have the same food and wine that the king eats at his table. It doesn't mean that they're eating at his table, but it's the food from his table. The food that would be brought to him was to be given to these young men. For 3 years, and 3 years in their training, 3 years of education, from all the best that all the best teachers, all those who are knowledgeable in each one of their fields were to come and train all of these young captives that Nebuchadnezzar has for 3 years. And at the end of 3 years, Nebuchadnezzar is saying, "I expect they will be ready and able and willing to serve me, King Nebuchadnezzar." Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are from the tribe of Judah. And most likely, I think that they are all sons of the king of Judah. Descendants, let me put it that way. Descendants. These young men, as I told you earlier, around 14 to 16 years old, the chief eunuch As he is then given charge over them, he changes their name. That's the first thing that we see that he does. After they're taken captive, remember, they didn't just walk in a parade and say, come on, line up, I'm going to pick you, I'm going to take you, and then we're going to go on this nice long journey, and it's going to be so nice, and taking you to the palace. No, it was a war. It is an army that comes in, and these are brutal, brutal, brutish, evil, wicked men. They do not have the leading of God. They don't even know him. They are led by demons. So all of their practices, this was not something so nice that they were just led away. They most likely were put in shackles or tied together, and they made a trip that was long and hard from Judah, from Jerusalem, to the land of Shinar, to the Chaldeans. They traveled by foot approximately 1,000 miles. So he takes Daniel and he gives him a new name. Daniel's name in Hebrew is God is my judge. Belteshazzar means Bel will protect. That's one of their gods. Hananiah means Yah has been gracious. They changed his name to Shadrach, inspired of Aku, which is one of their gods. Mishael, who is like God, is the meaning in Hebrew. Meshach, belonging to Aku. Azariah, helped by God. Abednego, servant of Nego. And that's one of their gods. So they changed their names, and they gave them Babylonian names so that they could always be hearing that ringing through their ears. But I have a feeling, and it just seems this way because Daniel refers to them back to their Hebrew names. It seems to me like they continue to use their Hebrew names. That is something they did not lose. The teachers may have called them the other, but when they were speaking, they were calling each other that. This is part of their indoctrination that their captives are using. Their captors are using. I want you to understand that they want to change your identity. What is going on in the world today? What is the number one thing to cause confusion in children to change who they are? To cause them to doubt who they are. Confusion. And that's all I'm going to say on that. And you know what that applies to. How does the world today seek to capture your sons and your daughters? They are inside our country waging a different kind of war, looking for the same results. Those loud voices, those profane and abominable lifestyles, they have every platform available to them. They have every protection of the government to do this. And they have the endorsement of churches. Breaking down their identity. That's what they want to do. You're going to have to do some critical thinking about what your children are exposed to. I want you to stop. You truly need to use your thought process in all of this. Children today, young people today, rebel against all authority. They rebel against their own DNA. They say it doesn't determine anything. They just have been fed a lie. And so then they have doctors who, for the greed, will come in. And you have a government who wants to change you, to take us where we are no longer a godly nation, and they want to destroy and break down the walls of the church and force you to accept this. And so children in the church who are struggling, who are weak, instead of someone coming alongside of them and helping them, praying with them, standing with them, nurturing them, they are hearing the loud voices and they are giving in to them. You can change and be whatever you desire. On and on and on, saying God made a mistake when he made you. God never makes a mistake. You have listened to the voice of the enemy and you have given in to it. There is a weakness there. I don't have to spell it out for you. You know what's going on. Look at how much you have accepted if you stop yourself and you just stop and think, of the things that you have accepted, how you have changed your vocabulary, how you've changed your thought on something. Listen, I want to tell you that alternative lifestyles are being promoted, and they're being promoted in ways that in movies and books and media, but they present themselves as people being in love. They don't dare tell you what that lifestyle does. And so you have mellowed and you have softened in the way you look at this. Think how much the culture of this world has changed your thoughts about the roles of a man and woman. We can't even define it today. When just a few years ago, it was the Me Too movement. And now there's no such thing. Women, you don't have any rights. You don't have any respect. You have nothing. You have nothing any longer. You don't even have the exclusive, exclusiveness of being a woman to bear children. The climate to accept the word of the media, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, our government, other nations who have fallen off the cliff, and the church is falling right behind them, accepting that lie. The leaders of the church, not all, but the majority, the most popular voices say we need to be like the world and we need to be accepted and loved. They believe that disaster is coming and we need one person to lead, and the church is not looking to the Lord God Almighty or His Word to give them answers. They are looking to the leaders of the world and say, please, please get together and give us one person who can solve the problems of this world and bring us all together in unity, that we may be in unity like they were when they were building the Tower of Babel, that we may build something that excludes God, and we may build something to the gods of our making, and we may lift our eyes up to that and worship the God of our making, is what they're saying. We are no different. People are people. And without the Lord, without God in your heart, you are no different. We have been too hard in the past, is what the church is saying. We've taken too hard a stance on this. After all, people love each other. Everything was to make them forget about God. That's what they were doing there. That's what the Chaldeans were doing, to accept their gods. And listen carefully, the world always, always has a God to offer you in place of the one true living God, creator of the universe, savior, king, lord, and judge of the whole earth. Atheists, they have a God, it's themselves. Agnostics, it's what they know. And then you have all the demons in the world and the false religions. You will worship and follow God or the little God of your own making or the little God of someone else's making. You will. That is just a fact. Is it easy to stand against the current tide of this world? No, I'm not saying it's easy. No, 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 it's not easy. But we have to be able to stand and purpose in our heart. Stand we must. Standing requires us to resolve and purpose in our heart no matter what they may do to us. We stand. We stand. Remember, I told you need to be standing today. I want you to hang in there with me. We're going to get through this and we're going to see what God has for us today. But as we've gone through this, now we're going to stop right here. But as we've gone through this, I want you to be thinking on this and pondering on this and begin to get into your Bible and read it and let God reveal to you the things that have happened. Listen, God doesn't change, and He still deals with nations and He still deals with people. Amen. Amen.